Mark and I didn't at all know what each of us were going to preach on. Sometimes we kind of know and we tell each other, but we didn't know what to tell each other, I think. So Nahum is two books after Jonah. By the way, if you're still searching. The right view of God in difficult days. Difficult days. Nahum is a book of judgment. It's about the judgment and the fall of Nineveh. If you've never found out more about Nineveh than what the book of Jonah, just go to a Bible dictionary, Bible encyclopedia, Bible handbook. You could Google it, but I'm not sure you can trust the revisionist history. But go read up a little bit on Nineveh. It's quite amazing. It was a phenomenal city, and phenomenal cities have fallen in history to enemy armies, right? Rome, Jerusalem, 70 AD, Saigon, South Vietnam. But none of those cities were greater than Nineveh was in its day. And most believers have never really known much about Nineveh. Nineveh and Babylon were the primary centers of the very first world empire. While Babylon stood for warfare of man against God, Nineveh stood for warfare of man against other human beings, other nations. Nineveh was marked by human violence and vicious attacks on cities and nations. And that's why Jonah hated them so much. Nineveh was the world's largest city of its day. And it was, according to history, a magnificent city, but its magnificence was matched by its wickedness and its blatant evil, like Paris, London, Madrid, Tokyo, New York City. Huge, magnificent, and evil. Nineveh would vengefully destroy cities with no mercy. And that is what Jehovah says in Nahum 1. He's going to do to Nineveh. That's why Nahum starts as it does. Chapter 1. Now I've got to find it. But thank God for these. Nahum 1, we'll read the first 8 verses. An oracle concerning Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum of Elkosh. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on His adversaries and keeps wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is in the whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The bloom of Lebanon withers. The mountains quake before Him and the hills melt. The earth heaves before Him, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before His indignation? Who can endure the heat of His anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by Him. Contrast. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him. Contrast again back. Same line of thought from verse 6 in verse 8. But with an overflowing flood, He will make a complete end of His adversaries and will pursue His enemies into darkness. Let's pray again. Father, we thank You for this word this morning. would you speak to us from it? Holy Spirit, we ask you, the author and inspirer of Scripture, to be our teacher this morning, to prophesy to us, to instruct us, to exhort us, to comfort us, to draw near and speak, Lord, to us through Nahum. We thank you for this passage. We pray you to apply it to our hearts and give us grace to speak, and give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. Speak, O Lord, for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Verse 2, Nahum says, God is jealous and he avenges. He avenges. He's furious and will take vengeance on his enemies. That is an unchanging, eternal truth out of his character. God will do to Nineveh now what they've done to others. Remember that passage that says, with the merciful you'll show yourself merciful, but toward the vengeful you will show severity. The people that have poured out their sinful wrath on others will now face the holy, perfect wrath of Jehovah. And one of the primary reasons in this book, and it's found really in our text, verse 7, that's what we're looking at today, the right view of God in difficult days. One of the primary reasons God judges Nineveh is for the sake of and because of His own people. God is good to Israel, and because He is, He will judge and bring down their enemies. Now, folks, listen. It doesn't matter what happens in Texas or at the border or in Washington or in the Pentagon or the United Nations or what happens in the Middle East. Ultimately, it doesn't matter a hill of beans. God is going to be good to His people, and He's going to be a refuge to them, and He knows those who trust in Him. That's the word this morning. God is good. He will judge and bring down the enemies of the people. That's the context of verse 7. Three statements here, three truths, three great realities that in a day of difficulty you want in your heart. I want every one of you to leave here, and if you don't know it yet, memorize Nahum 1:7, meditate on it, chew on it, chew twice on it, pray it, make it a life verse. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him. Increasing difficulties, at least in, well, all over the world. Jesus warned about that. Men's hearts will fail them for fear because of perplexities and panic among the nations and everything that goes with social ills, difficulties, violence, unrest, severe moral decline. Brother, 30 years ago, would you have even dreamed that this gender neutral stuff, gender identities, would have even been on the horizon? I mean, for Facebook, how many gender identities they have now? You talk about stupidity. You talk about moron idiocy by intellectual smart people. This strong delusion, God sent a strong delusion over the land because of sin. And so, in a day where there is unrest and severe moral decline, and more than ever, an antichrist sentiment militantly against Christianity, where there's increasing political and moral pressure to not only put up with, but to approve evil. I mean, this nation is not just going to be content for their sin to be allowed, they're going to come after people who don't applaud and approve it. The University of Louisville Law School, a couple of years ago, the law school hired what was his position? Director of Diversity. Now you watch that word. They hired a Director of Diversity for the law school, and so they had a dinner at the beginning of the semester. The law students are there, all the professors are there, the administration are there. The Director of Diversity gets up and says, "Now we're going to celebrate everyone's gender. So I want you to please declare what you are, and then we're going to celebrate yours." And there were a couple of Christians there, and they didn't bow the knee. But the pressure is more than ever in the neighborhood, in the school system, at every level, to celebrate evil. And God says to Nahum, through Nahum, ultimately, it's all going to come down. Because, see, God had mercy on Nineveh in Jonah's day. Nahum's day is a different story. As it was in Nahum's day, so it is in 2018. There are three things, knowing God, there's three things in this text God wants us to know about Him in difficult days. And it's the best news a Christian could have. Always, every moment in everything, first of all, first part of the verse, the Lord's good. Your mother dies, God's good. Your brother-in-law you love dies, God's good. Whatever happens, always, every moment in everything, all God does is good. Even in His judgments. Remember that psalm that every single verse ends with, "For the mercy of the Lord endures forever"? He kills Og, king of Bashan, for His mercies endure forever. His judgments, His action, everything He does is good. His purposes are good. God, why did you let this happen? Because it's good. His ways are good. His guidance is good. His allowance, what He allows in our lives, is always good. His motives are good. There is no malice or wrong intentions in God's heart. His choices and His acts and His works are always good. What He does is good. What He allows, what He brings, what He gives, His decrees, His wisdom, His providence. In your past, He's been only good to you. In your present, He's only good. In your future, He will only be good to us. And in death, He's good. Psalm 28:25-8 says, "Good and upright is the Lord." Is this overriding view of God in dark times and difficult days in our perspective? Does it fill our viewpoint? Psalm 100, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him because the Lord is good." Psalm 145, "The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all He has made." God's goodness is over all. It extends, His goodness permeates the universe and all the earth. When the worst things happen internationally, nationally, locally, personally, God's goodness is not absent. He has not ceased to be good. There is no, as a friend of mine says, there's no cosmic malice in God. Consider how good God has been to you. Just stop and pause on it for a moment. Food, clothing, far beyond that, provision, and a good home, heat. The other, our AC unit, the heating wouldn't fire up. So we had to have a place apart from place. It took 5 days. It was cold a few days. So Linda said, "Man up, put on a sweater." So we built a fire a couple of times in the fireplace. But you know, we We're spoil rotten, is what we are, to our creature comforts. We're so used to it. Nice cars, warm houses. Bill McLeod, the old Canadian preacher, he used to wake up every morning, first thing he would pray, Lord, thank you for a bed and a pillow. We don't remain thankful for the least mercies. Look again how good God has been to you. Your being here this morning, our being here this morning, fully clothed and in our right mind and wanting to be here, healthy enough to be here, is the pure goodness of God toward you individually. He's mindful of us. And His goodness is over all things. What do we have to be unhappy about? That the saints lost? Give me a break. If the Cowboys had been lost, I wouldn't be unhappy. And what do we have to be unhappy about? What do we have to complain about? What do we have to be bitter about or rebel against God about? God has already given me grace to face the reality. Just thinking of the future. If my wife dies before me, I've already decided what my response is going to be. I'm going to get down and worship Him and praise Him for 40 years of marrying way over my head. Lord, You're good. It was all good. It was all good. See, this is the perspective the Christian must have. And that's what God's saying in this verse. I want you to look at me as the great good God, regardless of what is happening around you. To you, around you, and just multiply the circles on out to the ends of the earth. God is good. The Lord is good. Secondly, what's the next part of the verse? Read it for us, Mark. Next phrase. I thought you were there. No, I'm sorry. Verse 7. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. So the first point tells us what He is by nature. The second point tells us what He is for us. He's a stronghold. What's a stronghold? It's the place of refuge and defense. It's that thing that is very difficult to penetrate and attack and conquer. But with God, it's impossible for Him to be penetrated or attacked. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Not just a good day, not when everything's beautiful. Jason and I were loving the beauty of the drive yesterday. He said 4 or 5 times, I finally got kind of tired of it. Not really. He said, man, this is a perfect day. Look how beautiful it is. Couldn't be better. And I was agreeing. But see, but you don't need a stronghold in a perfect day. We need a stronghold in a day of trouble, difficulty, heartache, loss, perplexity, disappointment, grief. He's a stronghold. He's a fortress. Tom, He's a hiding place. He's a strong place of refuge. He's our high tower of defense from the storm. He became that to you guys when the flood took your house. Doesn't mean there's not tears and sorrow and deep grief. But now look, we got in June, we came down there and saw that renovation. And I said to Mark and Becky, you know, Good Housekeeping or those magazines, Family Living, they ought to come and do, this whole neighborhood was redone. I said, what God's given y'all now is phenomenal. And He gave you a new home, and He gave time with your mom. God is good, and He's a stronghold. In the day of trouble, He's the safe place to be in. Christ is the safe one to be with in a time of trouble and distress. He's good, and He is a stronghold in times of trouble. You ever notice in Psalm 121, don't turn there, Psalm 121, there's not a single command in it, there's not a single exhortation, there's not any point of obedience. It's all promise. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. He'll preserve your soul. You're going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. All pure honey gospel promise. God is our refuge and our strength in time of trouble. The psalmist put it this way, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. When trials come, the song says, I come running to you. In a time of distress, I go to Jesus because He alone is the rock and the fortress and the refuge and the place of protection. So here's the deal. As troubling days increase, personally or nationally, where do you go in the day of trouble? Personally, what is your response? An unforeseen sickness comes on you, and fear tries to overwhelm you. Unto whom can I go? Where shall I run to when the tempest is strong? Where can one take cover from the storm that comes? In the Lord. In the Lord I take refuge until the storm is over. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Let me hide myself in Thee. Psalm 9:9. The Lord is a stronghold, a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. That's a perfect parallel verse with Nahum 1:7, Psalm 9:9. Psalm 37, the deliverance of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. That's another one. Nahum 1:7, Psalm 9:9, Psalm 37, verse 39. And Jeremiah prayed it once, O Lord, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in the day of trouble. There's another one. Jeremiah 16, verse 19. So, Nahum says God is good, and yet, He's a stronghold because there are days of trouble. God's goodness does not keep days of trouble coming. If you've heard of this social justice movement, you heard of that any? If you haven't, don't worry about it. But if you have heard about it, listen to John MacArthur's four sermons on it. And it's quite remarkable. The first one, he talks about how troubles and problems personally and problems nationally, that people and nations aren't victims. All problems and consequences are the result of our fall and a result of sin. And so, because troubles come, it doesn't mean God isn't good. Days of trouble do come. Distress does arrive at our door. Calamities, terrorism, public shootings. Yet regarding the worst, for God's people, Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth is removed and the mountains sink into the sea. The hymn writer said this, do not let tomorrow pierce your rest with dreams of coming ill. Thy Maker is thy changeless friend. His love surrounds thee still. In a day of trouble, to what do we turn? What is our source of help? Where are we going to go to for help when the hardest things come? On what or who do we depend? If we don't trust in the Lord at times of greatest difficulty, why not? When will we begin to do it? Even last night, when Mark was talking about the testing of our faith, God's goal is for us to really believe in the moment that He loves us. I went back to my room, and there's these big challenges that are before me about some things. And sometimes I find my heart struggles with, Lord, how do I trust You more? And I went to bed praying about the things that I needed to pray about. And I told Him, Father, I do trust You. I know You love me, even though You've allowed these things. I know You love me, and I do trust You. So I don't know if anybody else applied the sermon, but I got it because I'm needy. You know, we're always poor and needy. But the Lord is good, and He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Last point, point number three, the end of the verse. He knows those who take refuge in Him. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows intimately those who take refuge in Him. We can be ready for any days of trouble if we take refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is He your constant go-to refuge? It's amazing how many times somebody will call for counsel. And I'll say, and they're troubled. And I'll say, well, have you prayed about this yet? Well, no. I want to say, my pastoral approach is a little softer than Mark's. You know, and these, I'll say, well, you know, that's the first response. Don't call me. Go to prayer about it. Go to your refuge. Go to your high priest. He can help you more than me. And then if you need me, call me. Call on Jesus first, though. And so, in a time of need, there's a place to go for real help. There is a source of unfailing wisdom and help. The song says, oh, safe to the rock that is higher than I. Let me go, let me fly. That hymn's in that black hymnal, too. Oh, safe to the rock, let me fly. We've got a rock to go to, brethren. We've got a rock to stand on. When we're broken, and we're distressed, and we're hurting, and we're fearful, we can fall on the rock and find a soft landing. Do you have a rock to go to? Do you have someone to turn to? Do you have Christ right now in your life? Do you have Him as a real and present refuge? What is your assurance of help and dependence? He knows those who take refuge in Him. He cares for those who take refuge in Him. He loves those who take refuge in Him, those who trust in Him. Will we and do we? Oh, this verse, memorize it, meditate on it, pray it, plead it, live on it. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knows those who take refuge in Him. And as I said earlier, it doesn't matter ultimately regarding the immigration border and the wall. God's ways are not our ways. It doesn't matter what happens in the country or among the nations or future possible persecution. No matter what happens to the church and for the church and over the church, always, the Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him. You can live on that and you can die on that. You can rot in prison. The Lord is good.